welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch with me, Jisoo Yi. We just heard Orion's report. Let's get started right away by going directly and hearing from the source, an expert that joins us right now is Paul Nolte. He's the Senior Vice President and Senior Portfolio Manager at Kingsview Wealth Management. Hi, Paul.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very well. Good under the circumstances. I'm sure you've been very busy taking calls from clients this week. We just heard Orion talk about the Fed's extraordinary funding actions. Were you surprised by this? And is the Fed, at this point, have they done everything they can?
We were surprised. Certainly, there was no hint of it in the market. And the market was surprised. And part of the reason why it, you know, cut the losses in half very, very quickly. They have a meeting next week. It's expected they're going to cut rates at that point to back down to zero. Is it enough? that's the $2 trillion question that the Wall Street hasn't answered yet, or is at least answering in the negative at this point. And I think it's going to take some time before we see that. I think really, as we've talked to clients, this is a medical issue, not a financial one. And so the fact that I got an extra $100 or $1,000 in my pocket doesn't mean I'm going to go out and spend, because in some cases I can't, because I can't go to the ball game, can't go to the sporting event or the parade or whatever. That's being taken away. So the financial part of that doesn't necessarily fix the situation.
Were you surprised at how the market reacted this morning and so far this week? It didn't seem as though the announcement about the fiscal stimulus plan or the travel ban, potential interest rate cuts again, it didn't seem to really help the market until what the Feds did just now.
No, it really hasn't. I think the markets were expecting a lot more to come out of the administration last night than just a travel ban. They were maybe expecting some discussions about extending unemployment benefits or a tax holiday on payroll taxes or a variety of things that would help ease the burden for a while, because there will be dislocation over the next 2 months, 4 months or so. And, you know, people are going to need some help to bridge that gap until we get back to what passes for normal.
Because you said this is a health issue, it's hard to kind of wrap your brain around how long will this last. What will be a good signal for you in your mind? Would it be more testing that's available? What's going to make the markets feel more confident?
Testing is going to help, and more testing available is going to help. I think when we get to the point where we start to see fewer cases each day as a percentage. So right now we're still seeing mid-teens, maybe low 20s in the way of new cases around the world every day. And when that starts to flatten out, I think that's when you'll start to see the markets react a little bit better.
So, Paul, everyone's asking, what should they do with their money right now?
We're taking a little bit off the table. We took a little bit off a couple weeks ago. We're sitting on some cash. I'm not willing to go to zero equities. I think that's a mistake. But I think there's still some opportunities in the marketplace. But I don't think you have to jump. You don't have to sell at this point. You don't have to buy. Certainly for those that are in 401ks, IRAs, longer-term money, this will pass certainly by the end of the year. For those that are a little bit more concerned about the next couple weeks, you know, that's a coin flip. But I think, again, from a long perspective, this will pass, and we should see the markets higher probably 6 months to a year from now. So while the pain is ugly and severe and it hurts, it will pass.
This too shall pass, says Paul Nolte, Senior Vice President and Senior Portfolio Manager at Kingsview Wealth Management. Thanks so much for being with us, Paul. Look forward to talking with you again very soon.
We'll chat then. Thank you.
Anyone that's had a child knows that it's an incredibly difficult decision to weigh the options of participating in the formal workforce after having your child. And it's really hard to find that job that actually fits what you're looking for. Joining us now is Colleen Curtis. She's a head of community and marketing at The Mom Project. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So good to have you. Tell us what the Mom Project is. We know that it's a Chicago local startup.
It is. Yep. We were founded in Chicago in 2016. We are a digital talent marketplace that connects really highly qualified, talented women who are wanting to flex up, to flex down, and to really find a fit that works for them with a company that really gets it. So we are the marketplace that allows those connections to take place.
So you're really being very thoughtful in terms of what moms need from their workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. And that means a lot of different things, right? And so one of the things we have moms do when they sign up to the Mom Project is really evaluate what are the flex factors that are most important to them, and then we're able to match based on those factors. So where one mom might love working at an enterprise big company because they have great benefits and a lot of stability, another mom really might love that freelancer life that allows her to really make her own schedule and work asynchronously. And so for us to know that and then be able to match with employers is a really powerful mechanism.
I'm sure that you're hearing from a lot of moms that this was definitely a gap in terms of the recruiting and the job marketplace.
Yes. Oh, my God. I mean, the demand on the mom side has been so significant. People really very quickly, if you've experienced this as a mom who's in the paid workforce, you have felt this very viscerally. And so understanding that there's now a place for you to be able to match with these companies is really powerful because it does a couple things. It allows you to feel seen for your talents, right? And not to have to overcompensate for having taken a break from the workforce or, you know, having maybe you're pregnant, maybe you have young children. Really being able to bring your full self, not just to your workplace, but to your interview, is a really powerful thing.
Talking with Colleen Curtis, she's the head of community marketing at The Mom Project. And Colleen, a quick little timeout before we continue talking and diving a little bit deeper into what you guys do. How has COVID-19 affected you guys right now in terms of placements and people looking for jobs or how you guys are operating?
Yeah, absolutely. So we work with companies all across the spectrum. So single CEO companies, all the way up to huge enterprise Fortune 1000. And so we're hearing it across the board that obviously this is really, really impacting how they're thinking about how to support their workforce. And so where we've seen the most is, okay, how can we adapt to remote work? And we really have, you know, kind of blazed the trail with regards to remote work. We know it's something, the flexibility is something that supports working parents in the workforce. And so in a way, we've been really well positioned to be able to advise these companies on how to best support remote work. We know that jobs that are posted to our platform that have a remote capacity at, you know, above 50% receive double the number of applicants. And so in some ways, we've been able to really create more matches as companies have been able to move to a more remote work and advise them on how to best do that with potentially a workforce that hasn't been remote in the past.
I think that's really interesting that you're kind of industry leaders in terms of informing other corporations and businesses how to operate. This is very
absolutely. So, I mean, we have an insights division that is focused primarily on how to help corporations build better workplaces, and that's been so interesting to be able to really get deep in the data within a specific company and then help advise them on how they can really drive change, right? And a lot of that has to do with how are you supporting your employees? You know, how does that correlate to employee experience? You know, all these things that will create a more productive workforce. And that's what COVID-19 has really brought about this, I think, obviously big worry in public health, but really around, oh my gosh, the markets are crashing. Like, what are we going to do? And one of the things we can do and companies can control is how supported their current workforce feels, right? And how productive they can be in a remote capacity. And a lot of that goes back to, you know, do you have these values of respect? And so respect we find is the most important thing for moms as they choose companies. And we find companies that can do that really well. And whether it's within a crisis or not, are going to get the most out of their workforce.
So you mentioned respect, you mentioned flexibility. What are the other top factors that moms are really looking for in terms of, you know, making that decision of I'm going to work here?
Yeah, those are the two big ones. Okay. Respect kind of trumping all, right?
So, and so what do you mean by respect? Like respect of the family comes first type of philosophy?
That's a great point. So really when we talk about things that are most important to moms, we find flexibility, leadership, benefits, you know, all these things that kind of roll together. But what we really find is that without the respect to take that flexibility, to, you know, enjoy the benefits that you're given, to, you know, work with the remote capacity that you've been promised, none of them really matter. So respect is really the respect of the policies that are created and the respect of the individuals as they make up the workforce. So this transcends parents, right? So what we find is if companies can be really great at respecting working parents, they're actually usually very good at respecting all people and all they bring. And so what we're finding is what's really important for working parents is that they can bring them their full selves to work. And so that's where that respect piece comes into it. And then the flexibility obviously is a really important one because obviously we have different needs.
Well, of course, this philosophy applies to, you know, both parents, moms and dads. But it was interesting. I read an article about how moms found it more difficult to talk about needing to leave work early to go to pick up their child or to take a day off because they needed to go to their kids play. Whereas when fathers mentioned that in the workplace, they were usually met with, oh my goodness, you're such a great dad. And moms didn't get that response, right?
It's funny, right? Because that goes back to this whole, in a more serious matter of, you know, the motherhood penalty as it relates to, you know, how women are penalized financially after having a child. And the fatherhood bonus, right? Where actually if you become a father and you remain in the paid workforce, you'll actually make more over time, which is, it's kind of a crazy thing. And it does correlate back down to those societal norms of, oh, wow, he's a great dad. He's like leaving early to do soccer practice. Whereas moms are still feeling like they really have to hide that part of their life. And, you know, as much as we wish everything was very 50-50, moms are still doing a fairly significant majority of that invisible labor, and it does really impact sort of how they are viewed in the workplace.
Of course, the major factor with children is childcare and how expensive that can be. Are you finding that more employers are offering childcare benefits or you know, providing that within the company?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing a move towards understanding how that driver impacts success and productivity for the workforce, because ultimately if you have high quality childcare that is affordable or subsidized by an employer, that employee is able to stay more engaged during the workday, right? And so they're not having to leave, they're not having to, you know, mentally be sort of in another place. They're really able to feel supported in that. And so we definitely are seeing companies exploring those options more readily, I think, particularly in some of the major cities where we've seen the cost of childcare creep much higher than salaries have increased over the last couple of years. It's become a real crisis, and companies, I think, are really coming to the table to try to solve that alongside the people and public policy.
Well, Colleen Curtis, she's with the Mom Project. It's very cool what you guys are doing. Where can people find you, and where can they find jobs to apply to?
Fantastic. Yes, it's www.themomproject.com. And we welcome all people. Obviously, we cater to moms, but we are equal opportunity and are happy to match anyone that wants a respectful workplace.
Well, thanks so much, Colleen. A lot more coming up on WGN Radio.
So we talked earlier about the fact that we are expecting perhaps other leagues to follow suit, and now we are learning that the NHL has officially suspended its season. The White Sox earlier talked about, they didn't have practice today. They called off practice, and that was seen as a sign. So the NHL now suspending play. Major League Baseball reportedly is suspending all operations amid the coronavirus. But again, that has not been an official statement yet. We'll continue to update you on all of that from the WGN Newsroom.
Thank you to Steve Bertrand. We're going to continue with our show today with a little bit of tech news because it is Tech Thursday. We need to welcome back Ian Schur, editor-at-large for CNET. Hi, Ian.
Hi, how you doing?
Welcome back. You were on a little bit of family leave there for a bit.
I was. I was taking care of my adorable baby daughter, Beatrice, and now I'm back in the saddle, as it were.
Well, we're glad that you got some time with her. Very, very much deserved and very important as well.
Thank you.
So Google Maps is going to be helping keep users informed about businesses during this COVID-19 outbreak.
Yeah, it's actually a really nifty idea. So, you know, one of the questions we've all had as the coronavirus outbreak has spread is how the tech industry, which constantly talks about how it's going to make our lives better and all that type of stuff, how it'll actually do that, how these companies are going to step up to the plate. And in Google's case, they have announced this feature on Google Maps where business owners can go on, and we have a link on CNET where you can do this right now if you're a business owner, and actually update your Google profile to tell people, how you're disrupted by the coronavirus. So maybe you're working less hours. Maybe you're maybe the phone number needs to be changed to get you at home or whatever, or your cell phone. So those types of things you can do, they're temporary, just like hopefully this will be. And you can kind of, it really helps people here. And it's important because I use Google Maps to find out when businesses are open. I don't know about you.
I do, too.
But I always check.
Repair yourself. Repair your enabled.
Yeah, it's a really important thing.
Oh, sorry about that, Ian. Okay, so I think that's great that Google Maps is trying to help. Okay, let's move on to something that's been in the news a lot. It's password security and how vulnerable even home security networks are to someone hacking into your system.
Yeah, and it's something that we decided at CNET we really wanted to dig into a little bit. So all this week, we're actually doing a whole series of stories about passwords and basically why they're terrible and what we're doing to make them better. And one of the things that we talk about is a thing called a password manager. I don't know if you've ever run across one, but there's ones called, for example, LastPass or 1Password. There are these apps that you can use for free or pay for. And what they'll do is that they hide all of your passwords behind one big password. So I've got a main password I use, and then I log into my password manager. And what it does is it uses a different password everywhere I go. So it's a different password for Netflix, different password for PayPal, different password for my bank. And that means if a hacker ever gets into one of them, they can't use my password on another one and get into my financial information. It's really good to do. We actually have instructions on CNET for how to use one. We highly, highly recommend it. And it's the easiest thing you can do to make yourself safe. But you have to go about doing it.
I use a password manager because I can't keep track of all the different passwords I'm supposed to have to the 30 different subscriptions that I have to log into. I was fascinated to find in reading the article that the most used password found in data breaches is still 123456.
Yeah, and I think there's a good reason for this. our human brains are not designed to remember passwords, right? We're designed to remember where we're going, where we've been, and why we're going there. And everything else is kind of a lot more work for us, and it's exhausting. And I know even my family members who are sick and tired of me talking about this every time I see them, they have not gotten on the password manager train because they use the same password everywhere they go. And that's what they're used to. But it's so unsafe and so bad for you. And I know I sound like I'm just whining about this, but so important because a lot of the hacks these days are not people actually breaking into the systems. They're stealing your password and then trying it everywhere they can.
But Ian, why does it seem so scary to only have one password and then for me not to know any of my passwords that really get me into?
Well, I mean, you just said it, right? If you lose that one password, you're kind of screwed. But the thing is that, you know, most people, I for example, use lines of poetry. So I have a favorite poem, and I use a line from that poem as my main password. And that thing, the NSA can try. It's going to take them a long time to get there, although they now know it's a poem. But, you know, that's something that really helps is that you come up with something you're not going to forget, even if you're hit upside the head. And hopefully that will keep you access to all of your passwords. But it's way better than using the same password everywhere you go. You're just putting yourself in trouble if you do that.
Well, we're talking about protecting your privacy, but there's an article on CNET right now that says that your privacy could be threatened by a bill that's actually there to protect children. So explain this.
Yeah, so this is something called the Earn It Act, and it's an interesting idea that came out of Congress. What it is that there's this thing that allows basically Facebook to work, which is called Section 230. And what it is it's a line in a law, the Communication Decency Act, which says that when someone posts something on a website, let's say I post a review on Yelp, that Yelp is not responsible if I post something that's libelous or whatever else. I'm responsible. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is that Congress increasingly, as we're doing with election interference and disinformation, misinformation, and harassment all over the place, they are starting to say, well, maybe we should start getting rid of that rule and make Facebook responsible or Yelp responsible for everything that's posted, which would be enormously scary for them because their legal teams would have to triple or something to deal with it all. So instead, what the Congress has said is, okay, let's do this instead. We're going to set up a bunch of rules, like you have to have a certain number of people policing the content or whatever else. And that way, if you do all of that, then you get to be protected by this law. And the concern that a lot of experts say is that if Congress goes about this, they could start setting rules like, you need to give us a backdoor into your information. You have to give us access to your encryption data. And stuff that that lawmakers have been trying to get for years, that Silicon Valley has very much resisted because they don't want to erode our privacy. So I'm curious to see how this plays out. We have a lot more details, obviously, on CNET about it. It's a little involved, but it's going to become probably a huge hot point and a big debate in the next few months if this bill keeps going forward.
Right, okay. So that age-old tug and pull between liberty and also protecting those that can't protect themselves, like kids. So, yeah, we'll see how that works out. Really quickly, I know that Tesla has been in the news because of supply and production issues, but they had some good news that came out recently despite the coronavirus.
Yes, they celebrated their millionth SUV, or millionth car, actually, that they've made since they started. Now, this is a company you may remember it's been around for quite a while, right? But now they finally hit their millionth car. To give you an idea of how different that is from everyone else, I believe Toyota makes 10 million cars a year, and it's taken Tesla, 15 some odd years to get to this point, to the millionth? So the size is very different. But it's a big milestone for Tesla, and it shows that they're still humming along, and, you know, they're trying to argue that they have a future here as one of their newest cars starts coming out on the market.
Well, thanks so much to editor-at-large for CNET.com, Ian Schur. A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. Wintrust Business Lunch, thanks for keeping it right here on WGN Radio. We've come to the part of the show where WGN Radio's very own Amy Guth joins us to talk about some trending business news. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
Washing your hands, staying healthy?
I've been washing my hands all along. I think every time I see someone tweet about, like, oh, my hands are so raw from washing them so much, I'm like, you're kind of telling on yourself as not being a hand washer prior to now.
Your hands are raw 365 days of the year.
I always wash my hands when I come in from a place, and before I leave, I'm a hand washer.
So some good news for the Michael Reese hospital site.
Yeah, this is a really interesting potential shift, right? Because we've been looking and talking a lot for a long time about the Discovery Partners Institute, which of course is a piece of the 78, a planned mega development project. And, you know, that's sort of between Roosevelt and 34, like kind of between Chinatown and Roosevelt, like right in there. This is nearby. So what the bigger picture is kind of these mega developments sort of ringing the edges of the central business district when you're looking at where these mega development projects are located. And so the ARC Innovation Center would open in the first building of the former site of the Michael Reese Hospital. And so they've landed an anchor tenant. So once you land an anchor tenant, it's kind of on, right? It's kind of a thing. It's sort of,
and you can say, this is our anchor tenant.
Right.
Don't you want to join us?
Don't you want to be a tenant in this area as well? And so the anchor tenant, this this innovation center, what it's attached to is one of the biggest Israeli hospitals, and U.S. News and World Report ranked it as the ninth best hospital in the entire world. So it's connected to that. So if you put that with the 78 and the Discovery Partners Institute, here are two really significant tech hubs, because ARC would be about medical and biotech kind of sciences, and then the Discovery Partner Institute also about health technology. If you put those two together, here are two big, big spots right there together that has the potential really to, you know, to kind of possibly shape the way people view Chicago down the road. Not, it wouldn't be soon. I mean, these kind of projects are, you know, sometimes up to 10 years in the making and take 10 years to fully complete. But what could be the case is that once completed, you know, if both of them happen as they're planned and they pull off everything they're aiming to pull off, we could be looking at a really different look to the immediate south side edge of downtown and the and just beyond the South Loop, as well as a whole lot of tech talent in that medical and health space.
So a lot of technology, a lot of innovation. They're going to be doing a lot of work to help keep people out of hospitals, too.
Well, here's hoping. If only these things already existed. But I think it's really interesting to just kind of keep an eye on the tech landscape and look at the bigger picture of that. So if both of these projects come together as planned, we could be having a very different conversation about what the role that Chicago plays in the tech ecosystem.
I know, as with all the journalists in the WGN newsroom, you have been covering coronavirus this week.
Well, I think it's something that's on everybody's mind, and it's important to share information as we have it and as we know it, and keep people informed. I think that's really, really important. So I've mostly been looking at closures and the economic impact of them. So obviously, first and foremost, as it should be, is the public health component of that. But keeping an eye on things of what would that economic impact, what is the economic impact, rather, of the St. Patrick's celebration closures, things like that. It's hard to really measure what that means for bars and restaurants and for brands like Guinness and Jameson, but nonetheless, like, looking at those numbers, I think are...
And then drivers that are taking people to bars and to parades and parties and...
Just the green feather boa industry alone, I'm sure, will take a very serious... Yeah. I don't mean to joke about something serious,
no,
but,
I know.
You know, I think these were...
And we know how you intend it, though.
Yeah,
you know. You have to laugh to keep from crying sometimes.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, you know, I think with the daily updates that we're getting from public health officials and government officials, you know, we continue to monitor what those choices are. And as Governor Pritzker said yesterday, and Mayor Lightfoot, like, it wasn't an easy decision, but Pritzker indicated, you know, but it was the right one. And, you know, that's really what community health mitigation and intervention looks like. You don't wait until you have a big crisis on your hand. You don't wait until you have a lot of sick people. You preemptively cancel things where there's going to be a large group of people together. So I'm sure not an easy decision. But part of that is, as of right now, there was some consternation about what the election was going to look like on March 17th. As of right now, the Chicago Board of Elections says it's going to go as planned. Okay. There will be some relocations because some private landlords had said, you know, I'm not comfortable with people coming into my business to vote. Some of those places are even like retirement communities, things like that.
I was just going to say, right. I vote at a retirement community apartment complex, and I wonder if they want all of us coming in.
So what you should do is you should check. There's a couple of different news outlets that have a really thorough list, because several polling places have been relocated. The Chicago Board of Elections should have that listed as well, but I know a lot of news organizations locally have that. Check before you go. Even if you're positive, check anyway, because of these kind of things. Private landlords saying, you know, I don't know that I want just the general public in this facility, especially if you vote in like a school or a retirement community, something like that.
Well, you know, I always have to bring you some fast food news. And I'm ending this segment with a little story about McDonald's, because I want you to smile, Amy. And did you know that McDonald's is now selling a Big Mac with four patties? It's called the Double Big Mac. But in addition to that, they're also selling a smaller one called the Little Mac. And it's similar. How cute is that? Similar to a McDonald's single cheeseburger. It's a single patty with just a dollop of special sauce, and it costs $2.29. So there you go. So if you don't want to indulge too much, you can get the Little Mac. I'm going to call it the Baby Mac.
The Baby Mac scooter.
You can get the, you know, the big Double Big Mac.
Okay, so a little bit of Corona news on that front is that McDonald's has said they will offer paid sick leave to corporate workers. Now, there's 14,000 McDonald's, almost 14,000 in the country. Most of those are franchised. But for now, at least that part is solved, that corporate workers will be covered if they need to quarantine.
I'm just going to think about my little Baby Mac, okay?
Think about
the Little Mac.
The Big Mac, the Little, the Big, and the, what is it? The Grand, what? The Giant Mac, whatever.
Thanks to Amy Guth. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.